Find more State House coverage at sdpb.org.
The House Health and Human Services Committee will now come to order. I'd like to welcome all of you here today and all of those listening on the internet. And I'm sorry, Abby, your last name? Sechi. And where are you from? Wellmont. Welcome. Thanks for helping. Are you the only one today? Did everybody else ditch you? All right. We'll make her introduce herself by herself and embarrass her later. All right. Make sure your cell phones are on vibrate. And let's go ahead and get started. Secretary, call the roll, please.
Representative Blake.
Here.
Bloomgarden.
Here.
Curd.
Here.
Dreyer. Ironclad. Jensen.
Here.
Lucas.
Here.
Mosier.
Here.
Nygaard.
Here.
Bonfima.
Here.
Vanderlinde.
Here.
Grave.
Here.
Pitts. Mr. Chair, there's a quorum.
Approval of the minutes. Moved by Curd, second by Lucas. All those in favor will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. If you're here today to testify on one of the three bills, please make sure you sign in. And you guys got any handouts, go ahead and give them to the pages. We'll get those handed out. Please address all your questions through the chair. And I think with that, we're ready to go. And looks like first bill on is Senate Bill 109. With that, we'll open testimony on Senate Bill 109 for proponents. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Kathy Mueller, and I'm here on behalf of Governor Rounds to testify in support of Senate Bill 109, which is an act to allow uninsurable children to be enrolled in the South Dakota risk pool and to provide for their funding and their addition to the risk pool. I wanted to give you a little bit of history of where this bill came from, and then I'll let Randy Moses from the Division of Insurance do the heavy lifting on this bill. In the fall of 2007, the Zinnia Task Force issued their final report containing recommendations on reducing the number of uninsured. The first recommendation in that report was to create a high-risk pool to extend coverage to individuals considered to be uninsurable, and they estimated that to be at approximately 5,200 individuals. As outlined in that report, the governor appointed a working group, and that working group was made up of providers, insurers, representatives of state government, and they were assigned to study the issue, and it was their recommendation that they would pull off a small subset of the uninsurable and that uninsurable children be added to the risk pool. An uninsurable child is a child who is not eligible for other creditable coverage such as Medicaid or SCHIP, but has a health condition which prevents them from getting insurance in the private market. Zinnia estimated that there were approximately 450 uninsurable children at the time of the report. Our actuary estimates that approximately 100 of those children would actually take up the opportunity to be enrolled in the risk pool. Senate Bill 109 establishes the eligibility criteria and funding for adding children to the risk pool. On behalf of the governor, I urge your support of Senate Bill 109 to help us take a major step towards making insurance available to all children.
Thank you. Further proponents, Senate Bill 109. Morning, Randy.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Randy Moses, Division of Insurance. The uninsurable children we're talking about, maybe I would start by just differentiating and indicating that under the current risk pool rules, children can get in, but only if they already had coverage and lost it. That does not take care of those children that just never had insurance or have been without insurance for a significant period of time and have health conditions and can't get in. That's what this bill takes care of. We did put forth some specific eligibility criteria because we didn't, you know, we wanted to make sure that things were under control, that these were truly uninsurable children and et cetera. So and one of the key things is we didn't want to be a dumping ground either. So we want to make sure they're a citizen and a resident of this state. For one thing. Secondly, we want to make sure that they, in fact, cannot qualify for insurance, so the bill would require that they be rejected by at least two insurance carriers prior to be able to enroll. And finally, that they've been without coverage for at least 6 months. they meet all those criteria, they would get in. We did want, since this is a brand new program, to try and make it a little bit easier for those folks that were long-term uninsurables, have been uninsured for a long time. So this provides a one-time open enrollment period for which those individuals that have been uninsured, those children have been uninsured for at least 1 year, can go into the risk pool, assuming they meet the other criteria, and not be subject to a pre-existing condition. Those that apply after the open enrollment period would have a six-month pre-existing waiting period for conditions that they had. So those are really the eligibility criteria. As far as the funding piece, one of the mechanisms for funding the risk pool, besides the funding from the state, which puts in some money, we've received some federal monies, the providers agreed to accept a reduced rate for their services. But the carriers pay currently 25 cents per member per month, the insurance carriers do. This would increase that and allow a assessment up to 35 cents per member per month, or in other words, a dime increase. That funding would, according to our actuary, be more than sufficient to take care of these kids, and also will be sufficient to take care of Senate Bill 19, which we'll talk about later. With that, I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moses. For the proponents, Senate Bill 109. Any further proponents? Seeing none, we'll now open to opponent testimony on Senate Bill 109. Any opponents to 109? Don't everybody come at once. Any opponents? Seeing none, we'll close testimony. We'll waive rebuttal. And we'll open to committee questions. Any questions of the committee? Representative Mosier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Mr. Moses.
Looks like he's got a gimp leg there. You should make, don't make him get up. Mr. Moses.
I think we heard that, was it 450 or so are eligible? Is that what you said? But only about 100 participate. I'm just curious as to your thoughts of why that is.
Our actuary has worked with risk pools in the past and also has experience with our risk pool. And for whatever reason, there's always a significant number of individuals who are eligible, but for one reason or another do not enroll. Certainly cost is something. If they didn't have insurance, perhaps they have some limited means, although if they're below 200% of poverty, they would be eligible for SCHIP. But some of those that are in that middle range, maybe 200 to 300% of poverty, are not necessarily have the means to purchase insurance depending on their other circumstances. And then there's also some folks that just don't think insurance is important for whatever reason. We don't think that's a good idea, but that's some individual's choice that they don't do so. So that's the dynamics that at least we're aware of that we're dealing with, is why individuals don't enroll.
Thank you, sir. Further questions, committee? Representative Kurt, Randy, sit down.
Sorry, just to follow up, Mr. Chair, my question is, of that 450 number, I understand that the enrollment requirements to be 200% of the federal poverty level, and now it's increased to 300 in the new SCHIP bill, or at least authorized up to that level. Do you have an idea for the number of children in that number of 450 that might be eligible for SCHIP that would really be insured, even though they don't choose to avail themselves of the opportunity?
The only thing I could say is when we did the Xenia study, of those that were uninsured generally, approximately 60% of the uninsured were at or below 200% of poverty. But how that number would extrapolate down to this small subpopulation, we didn't have that kind of data to be able to break it down that to that level. But certainly a majority of the uninsured are certainly not of sufficient income to qualify.
Okay. Please follow up.
Do you know of the number of 100, the estimate that would enroll, do you have any idea what percentage of that 100 number might be SCHIP eligible? And then the second question is a follow-on to that is, before risk pool enrollment, are they encouraged to pursue their SCHIP avenue before the risk pool? I assume that they are.
The way we would have, Mr. Chairman,
please.
The way we would have it set up is that if they are eligible for other credible coverage, they would not be eligible under this. So if they're eligible for SCHIP, they need to go to SCHIP.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moses.
Thank you.
Further questions, committee? Representative?
Mr. Moses.
Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One more.
Okay.
This, just to clarify this risk pool is very expensive to belong to.
Representative Mr. Mosley.
These are not S-CHIP kids.
That's true. And one of the reasons why people would want to get private insurance if they possibly can is that there's a 50% surcharge. We take the average premium in the individual market and add a 50% surcharge, and that's the premium they're going to have to pay to be in the risk pool. So it is not inexpensive. That's correct, Representative Blake.
So they're probably not.
You have a follow-up, Representative?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Further questions? Hearing none, we'll close to committee questions and open for committee discussion and or action. Representative Curd.
Mr. Chair, I move due pass on Senate Bill 109.
Second. We have a due pass motion by Curd, a second by Mosier. Discussion, Representative Curd.
I don't have much, Mr. Chair. Thank you, other than to recommend that we move this bill to the floor. And I think it's time has come. We need to get the children covered. They are a special subset of the population. I think we should follow the recommendations of the task force that has been established.
Thank you. Further comments? Hearing none. I also would recommend that we vote yes on the due pass motion. I do think that, especially with the increase in the fee, that we certainly be able to cover this. It's been a program that's worked well for us in the state in the past, and I certainly think this is a good expansion of it that we can control. So with that, the Secretary will call the roll, please.
Representative Blake?
Aye.
Bloomgarden?
Aye.
Curd?
Aye.
Dreyer? Ironclad?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Mosier?
Aye.
Nygaard? Ramkema?
Aye.
Vanderlinde?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Hits. Mr. Chair, there are yeas. 10. 2 excused.
Thank you. With that, we'll do pass on Senate Bill 109 to the floor. Consent has been moved. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Nay.
It's not on consent. Representative Curd, do you want to carry that on the floor?
Sure.
Thank you. All right, with that, it looks like we're, we'll open testimony on Senate Bill. Hang on. We'll open testimony on Senate Bill 19. Any proponents? Mr. Moses.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 19 also deals with the risk pool, but deals with another subject as well. They're kind of interrelated. Last year, we had a bill in that would have taken our mini COBRA, which is the South Dakota version of COBRA for small employers, and equated that with the federal standards, because right now our standards for when somebody's eligible for continuation between COBRA and mini COBRA are not quite the same. Specifically, what the state law provides for is extra COBRA provision when a insurance company cancels an employer. The group disappears, but there's still a continuation requirement under state law. There is no such requirement in federal law. Last year, the bill was introduced to equate the two, so make it easier, especially for those employers that are right on the cusp between 20 employees above and below 20 state. You move back and forth, and it makes it a little difficult for the employers to administer and also for the insurance companies. However, the governor vetoed the bill last year because there was not a safety net, because some of the employees who had less than 12 months of prior credible coverage and who had health conditions and couldn't get insurance elsewhere could have been left out in the cold. And so we came back this year with a revised version, which also, again, changes the South Dakota continuation requirements for mini COBRA by deleting the requirement for continuation when the insurance company cancels, but waiving the 12-month prior credible coverage requirement for the affected employees. So, therefore, the employees would have a safety net. If they can't get insurance elsewhere, they at least have the risk pool to go to. So I think we get both things taken care of with Senate Bill 19 this time, getting that COBRA thing switched around so the administration of it is much easier for employers and insurance companies, and secondly, making sure that we have a safety net for affected employees. And that's really what Senate Bill 19 does. Certainly, there will be some additional folks that would be eligible for the risk pool that are not now eligible, but with the additional funding in Senate Bill 109, our actuary estimated that it would cover both 109 enrollees plus Senate Bill 19 enrollees. So we think we're in good shape with the funding for both bills. And with that, I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moses. Further proponents, Senate Bill 19. Any further proponents? Seeing none. Any opponents? Senate Bill 19. Any opponents? Any opponents? You have an easy day so far, Mr. Moses. Seeing no opponents, we will close, waive rebuttal. Open for committee questions. Any questions of the committee? Representative Kurd.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mr. Moses, I have a question for him.
Please.
The American Reinvestment Act that was just signed into law by our president contains COBRA provisions, and as I understand it, it's that an individual who is involuntarily terminated from his position is eligible for a 65% subsidy for 9 months. Does that have any impact or effect? I assume that it doesn't, but...
It's my understanding that that it is for only 9 months, as you indicated, Representative Kurd, and COBRA would be for 18 months. So those individuals that wouldn't have ordinarily taken it probably aren't going to stay on beyond the 9 months. So I don't anticipate that there's going to be a impact, but could there be a small one? Perhaps. But based upon that only lasting for 9 months, I would not expect much of any impact.
Thank you.
Further questions? I would have one for you. How many do you think are going to go into the risk pool? I mean, how big an increase are you anticipating?
I forget the number off the top of my head. I don't know if have it with me. It seems like it was somewhere in the neighborhood of the kids that was close to 100, but I can't remember if it was a little bit above it or a little bit below it. I better not say because I'm just not sure, but it's in that neighborhood anyway.
All right. If you could find that out and just email it to the committee, that would be fantastic.
I'd be glad to.
Thank you. Further questions? Hearing none, we'll close questions and open to committee discussion and or action. Representative Mosier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Move, do, pass.
Second.
Move, do, pass by Representative Mosier. Second by Representative Rompkema. Representative Mosier, discussion? Oh, come on.
No, thank you.
Any further comments? Hearing none, I guess the Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Blake?
Aye.
Boomgarden?
Aye.
Kurd?
Aye.
Dreyer? Ironclad?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Mosier?
Aye.
Nygaard? Rompkema?
Aye.
Van der Linde?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Pitts? Mr. Chair, there were 10 yeas, no nays.
Senate Bill 19, having received a majority vote of the committee, will go to the floor with the do-pass recommendation. With that, we'll open committee hearing on Senate Bill 20. Mr. Moses again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Randy Moses, Division of Insurance. Senate Bill 20 is a pretty short one. What we would do with Senate Bill 20 is increase the lifetime maximum for risk pool enrollees from $1 million to $2 million. For those of you that have private insurance, I believe most of you probably have a lifetime benefit of $2 million, maybe even $5 million. That's really the norm anymore in the private market. And the risk pool has stayed at $1 million since inception in 2003. We think it's time to move it up to correspond with the rest of the market. Certainly health care costs are rising overall. $1 million just doesn't buy much like it used to. And quite frankly, a little more seriously, you know, we do have a number of individuals in the risk pool are unhealthy, and one day somebody's going to hit that $1 million max. Nobody's real, real close right now. I think the highest one we have is right around $550,000 or something in that neighborhood. But when they do hit it, there is no other safety net. The risk pool is the last safety net for those individuals. If they went over the $1 million, they would be uninsurable and have no other home. I think we want to make sure that the risk pool coverage is adequate for today's health care costs. And with that, I would encourage you to adopt this and allow the increase to go up to $2 million. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moses. Further proponents for Senate Bill 20. Further proponents. Seeing none, we'll close to proponent, open to opponents' testimony. Any opponent testimony, Senate Bill 20. Any opponents? Seeing none, we'll waive rebuttal. Go to committee questions. Any questions of the committee? Hearing none, we'll close to committee discussion and or action. Representative Kurd.
Move to pass on Senate Bill 20.
We have a due pass by Kurd, second by Jensen. Representative Kurd, discussion on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, the risk pool is designed to cover those that are unable to achieve coverage through another mechanism, and some of those individuals have life-altering and very expensive health care difficulties that will require significant expenditures over the course of their lifetime, and it would not be inconceivable to see them rapidly surpass the $1 million mark with any kind of significant illness. And I think, much as Mr. Moses discussed with us this morning, you just can't get today what you used to get for $1 million smooth. And I think doubling would provide an additional amount of safety for those individuals that find themselves in the unfortunate circumstances requiring them to avail themselves of the opportunity to engage in this kind of program that the state offers for their benefit. And I would urge the committee to move it due pass.
Thank you. I would also encourage due pass. I do think, though, it's a sad statement when $1 million doesn't buy what it used to. But as long as we, you know, continue to make sure that the risk pool is fluid, even though we're doubling the lifetime limits on these individuals, as Mr. Moses stated, we are a maximum individual at this time is only 550,000. So I think we're on track. The pool has worked well, but I do think every year we need to continue to be watchful of it to make sure that it stays fluid. So with that, the secretary will call the roll.
Representative Blake.
Aye.
Boomgarden.
Aye.
Kurd?
Aye.
Dreyer? Ironclad?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Mosier?
Aye.
Nygaard? Baumkema?
Aye.
Vanderlinde?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Pitts? Mr. Chair, there were yeas 10, 3, not voting.
Senate Bill 20, having received a majority vote of the committee, will go to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair, I'd move consent on Senate Bill.
Consent has been moved. All and seconded. Moved by Lucas, second by Kurd. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. With that, Representative Lucas, would you carry Senate Bill 19 on the floor?
Yes.
Because that was not on consent. And Representative Mosier, would you talk about Senate Bill 20 in your caucus? And
yes.
Representative Lucas, if you want to take all three of those for your caucus, maybe?
Yes.
Thank you. Well, with that, I think we've cleared the calendar in record time. Any further business of the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Curtin.
Personal privilege.
Granted.
I just wanted to commend you on the amazing ability with which you were able to provide steerage for this committee through the calendar this morning in a rapid and efficient fashion. I'm amazed.
I appreciate that. It was extremely difficult bills, too. And with that, any further pertinent business of the committee? Please leave your binders. I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Mosier, second by Lucas. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. We are adjourned.